The U.S. dollar has lost 85% of its value since the 70s, when the dollar decoupled from gold, and the government seems bent on continuing the tradition. Charlie Kirk here. From now until after the elections, the government can print as much money as they want. The last time they did that, inflation went up 9%. Gold is the only asset that has proven to withstand inflation. Invest in gold with Noble Gold Investments. You will get a 24-karat, 1/4 ounce gold standard coin for free. Just use promo code Kirk. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. Hey, everybody. Today, Charlie Kirk Show. Vivek Ramaswamy joins us fresh off the debate stage. And Marjorie Taylor Greene talks impeachment and why she was not allowed into the spin room. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at TPUSA.com. That's TPUSA.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at TPUSA.com. I want to hear from you directly. Email me freedom@charliekirk.com. Become a member at members.charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Vivek, welcome to the program. Thank you for taking the time. First and foremost, how much sleep did you get last night?
About 4 hours. Nothing. Nothing too terrible.
Plenty.
Ample.
So, yeah. Vivek, walk us through it all. Debate prep, being on stage, your reaction, and kind of what's been happening since. Walk us through it.
I mean, my view is I think the debate was actually really productive because, yeah, we can get the, you know, young guy versus establishment politician, you know, hurling insults at me thing out of the way. That's superficial. I think what it surfaced was a deeper ideological divide in the GOP. And I think we need to sort out where we stand as a party. Do we stand on the side of an establishment that is fundamentally skeptical of the will of the people? Or do we believe in a party that actually represents the interests of American citizens? That's what was at stake. From the question about climate change, Charlie, where I was the only person on stage willing to speak the truth, that the climate change agenda is a hoax. It's not about time horizons. It's not about bending the knee, but saying the Democrats are doing it too quickly. It's about recognizing the truth. It's about recognizing the truth in Ukraine. Do we actually want to fight a foreign war that does not advance American interests? Or do we wish to use those same resources to secure our own borders and our own homeland in this country? And in that sense, I think it was a really successful debate. You know, I'm glad about people were pleased by my performance. Frankly, I was a first time debater on a political debate stage. So I'm glad that I came out the winner. But even more importantly, I think this is going to make the Republican Party stronger and the country stronger by hopefully sunsetting this old GOP model that I think we finally got to put a nail in the coffin on.
Let me read you some of these headlines. Ramaswamy suddenly becomes a force after the GOP debate. Ramaswamy makes impression nationally. Inside Vivek Ramaswamy's astonishing rise. How Vivek Ramaswamy broke through at the first GOP debate. These are like New York Times, Politico. So I think that, I mean, it's by far the big takeaway here. Now, Vivek, you know, we've been hammering the other people on stage with you. You were the only person that stood in contrast with the neocon, neoliberal agenda. And my favorite part of the whole debate is like finally when Ukraine came up, we were streaming live. I said, just keep your eye on Vivek. And, you know, they say, who here doesn't want to send money to this foreign war? And boom, your hand goes straight up and you got DeSantis do this little thing with his wrist. I don't even know what that was. And then you leaned into it and then you were lectured by neocon Nikki and all these other people, which was just such a joke. And so, Vivek, walk us through that. But also, I was most upset because, I mean, you speak a lot. You spoke at our Action Conference. The audience was not your typical Republican base audience. It was full
of... Oh, no, it was not.
Yeah, so I want your comments on that.
I mean, this is a donor audience, right? So the puppet masters, many of them were in the audience yesterday. I was speaking to the people at home, but the people in that audience are largely the puppet masters in the super PAC class that are pulling the strings of the super PAC puppets who are on stage. And that's the problem with the Republican Party. You actually saw this with Trump. He called it out in one of the early debates in 2015. It's the same show all over again. And I think this is the problem, not just with our party, because it's the problem in both parties, Charlie, but it is a problem with American politics, is that the politicians themselves are just, if I may use the term, listless vessels for the super PACs that effectively prop them up. And so I'm an independent patriot. I have the capacity to speak the truth. I've been blessed to live the American dream. I'm grateful for that, grateful to this country for giving me that opportunity. But I have to make a sacrifice to avoid being that super PAC puppet. And so we're putting boatloads of my own hard-earned money into this campaign precisely because I want to avoid relying on the people who are in that audience to prop me up. And that's what allows me to speak the truth on an issue like Ukraine, where it was an anaphylactic reaction on that stage, but it's in much of the Republican Party as well that is attached to this idea that the USSR still exists. I had to educate Mike Pence on stage that the USSR fell back in 1990 and awakened to the idea that communist China is actually the real threat we face today. And we're making the Russia-China alliance stronger by driving Russia further into China's hands by extending this war in Ukraine. And so I hope we actually delve in the next few debates into this, Charlie. This is what separates, you know, the boys from the men in some ways in our party, separates those who are true to this country versus those who are true to slogans they memorized back in 1980. And I think that this should be one of the areas where we go deep in the debates over the course of this fall.
Yeah, these mindless soundbites of kind of neocon days past. I mean, first of all, Mike Pence was so disgusting to you. Let me just say this. Like, let me say this slower so you can understand. Like, what are you trying to, like, insinuate that Vivek is, like, your house slave or something? I mean, it's, like, disgusting, honestly. No, I'm going to be honest. It was like, this canned thing over and I love when you called it out when Mike Pence was like, we need a government as good as our people. I don't even know what that means, okay? I mean, we're living through a color revolution, an administrative state siege on the American people. These one-liner platitudes, Mike Pence, are not going to cut it. I thought that, honestly, for a guy that I've always considered to be Mike Pence, being an honorable man, he was acting like a jerk on stage, be honest. He was mean to you. He was cruel. You don't have to play in that if you don't want to, Vivek. I'm just being honest. Like, he was not.
I can handle it, Charlie. It
no,
was,
I know you can.
Fine. I was a little surprised.
I know you can. I'm saying that he didn't win over people for being. I mean, he has this, like, this fake, like, sincerity. Like, oh, and it's just. Anyway, it drives me nuts. Do you have a thought on that, Vivek?
Well, I'll kind of lift the curtain a little bit and tell you the conversation we have in between the commercial breaks, which is usually if I see him at these events on the campaign trail, all I get is, how's the family doing? I've gotten, can't tell you how many handwritten signed notes I've gotten from Mike Pence in the last 2 years. I don't know if that was courting me as a prospective donor or whatever, but they'd arrive in the mail hand signed, asking about the family every time he sees me. So I actually congratulated him in the commercial break because I said, I didn't know you had it in you. I was actually kind of proud of him because this is a guy who's kind of presented himself as a little bit of a teddy bear, a little bit of a guy going through the motions, reading the scripts his handlers give him. And there seemed to be on stage for the first time a genuine animus in his eyes. Like he actually came alive in some of those vitriolic attacks on me. And my true sense was I was kind of proud of him to actually see an independent, lively soul somewhere in there beyond the platitudes that actually made me somewhat proud of the man. And I told him that. I don't know how he took it.
You're a good sport. Yeah. So what gets Mike Pence really fired up? An American saying we shouldn't fund the war in Ukraine. Then you have the fighter come out. CNN asked real voters, not super PAC master Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, AstraZeneca, Moderna, Boeing, Lockheed Martin, or Northrop Grumman donors that were in well attendance last night. Hey, who do you think won? Play cut 132.
Here's what I want to ask you about. Who you thought did the best during this debate? Basically, who do you think won the debate? I'm going to do it in alphabetical order to be fair. Anyone think Doug Burgum did the best? That's zero. Anyone think Chris Christie did the best? He certainly got most of the airtime. A lot of the airtime, not most of the airtime. How about Ron DeSantis? How many of you think Ron DeSantis is the best? That's two people. How about Nikki Haley? One, two, three, four people. Asa Hutchinson? Mike Pence? Zero. Vivek Ramaswamy? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Tim Scott? Okay, so this panel here thinks Ramaswamy won the debate.
the people are with you, and we predicted it on the show, and I know you and I were texting a little bit. I said, if you stand where actually Republican voters are, you're going to be rewarded.
It wasn't my performance, Charlie. It was the content of what I was saying. Yes. Speaking the hard truth about the cancerous shadow government in this country, that's the real war we need to wage, not a foreign war in Ukraine that doesn't advance our interests. And so you know what? I'm a vehicle for advancing the will of the people. That's the way I view it. Our America First agenda, it is bigger than me. It is bigger than any one of us, bigger than any one man. And you stand on that side, I think that's going to create a coalition far bigger than the current Republican Party, go into independents, nonpartisan people across this country that stand for America First. That's how we win.
If you guys feel so compelled, chip in. Vivek won the debate last night. He stood for the values that we care about, and he was under attack by every one of the snakes on stage. Strong Cell is amazing. I got to tell you, the combination of NADH, CoQ10, and collagen is really something. You know, people ask me, they say, Charlie, how do you keep your energy up? How do you just keep on pushing? Look, part of it is diet, nutrition, but I'll be honest, I take supplements really seriously. Fact check me on this. You can say, oh, Charlie, I'm going to fact check you. Type this into your search engine. NADH. Just type it in. What does it tell you? It might tell you that it is the secret to living long, anti-aging properties, more energy. Well, all of that is being proven in more and more clinical trials. NADH is a precursor so that your mitochondria can remain healthy and vibrant. The elites, a lot of billionaires, people with a lot of money, they spend a ton of money on NAD. It's a fact. NAD just might be your secret weapon for more energy. I take NAD every single day. I could tell you that NADH compared with CoQ10, the trials show very, very good things. I don't take my word for it. I mean, honestly, my word should be good for something, but fact check me. Look at it. And if you do it over 30 days, you'll see an increase in energy. I wake up better than ever before. NAD can help you potentially, again, fact check me on this, with depression, anxiety, other issues that you might be dealing with. It is nature's gift to you so that you might have extra energy and mental clarity. You guys can use promo code Charlie for 20% off. It's strongcell.com/Charlie. NAD might be nature's secret weapon for you. I love it. I take it every single day. Try it for at least 30 days to see the maximum benefit. And let me know, has NAD helped your life? Strongcell.com/Charlie. Check it out. Strongcell.com/Charlie. So you're going to get attacked from every possible direction. You're the winner of the debate. Your poll numbers are going to go up. So let's lean right into just what some of the people are trying to say about you. This is what I love about Vivek. There's all these other politicians. They're such low testosterone. They're such a waste of time. Oh, we need pre-scripted. You can't go off script. Vivek, it's just like, let's let it fly. That's very unique. Vivek, the one thing I got emailed a lot this morning is about something with a scholarship with Soros. What the heck is this all about?
Well, look, I mean, I've answered this question a lot on different podcasts, but it's good. It's good for people to be skeptical and ask the questions. So when I was 24 years old, I was in Yale Law School, and the fall of my 1L year, there was an opportunity to win a scholarship, which I did win, which was funded by not George Soros, but a relative of George Soros, Paul Soros, his brother, who's long dead, who made his money independently, to attend law school. And it's a generic scholarship. Hundreds of people win it every year. It would be malpractice. It would have been idiotic at that age to turn down that scholarship. But the reality is there is one candidate. I don't mean to be, you know, hurling insults at anybody, but I do find it kind of funny that there's one candidate in this race that George Soros has expressly come out and supported. There's one candidate in this race, or at least has said good things about, that he wants to see him win the primary. There's one candidate who George Soros's investment partners have hosted a fundraiser for. That's not me. That's Ron DeSantis. I'm not going to hold that against him. And, you know, even if you date back to Trump, who I love, who many of your audience members love, Trump took $160 million loan from George Soros. That doesn't mean that he's owned by George Soros. He's a businessman. He knows what to do when it comes time to being smart. And so when I was 24 years old, I was smart too. I took a scholarship that helped me pay for law school. I wasn't born into money. And the truth of the matter is they're probably really upset that I ever won that, now that they see what I've become and what I'm doing in this country. But that's the fact of the matter. People should be asking questions because we've been duped.
Second question I'm getting, Vivek, is Israel. That one has gone viral. Let's talk about Israel.
Yeah. Yeah. So the thing that is laughable, Charlie, is the number of headlines that came out in the last week. And I think it's coming from the Nikki Haley camp in particular, based on what she said last night. But I think it's coming from other camps, too. headlines putting words in my mouth that I never said. Now, what did I say? I was in the Russell Brand podcast. I've said it a couple of other times that it would be a mark of success for Israel and for the U.S. if we ever got to a point where Israel no longer even required the relatively minimal amount of aid that the U.S. provides to Israel. That fact alone made people lose their minds. Let me just be clear about where I am on Israel. I am highly confident, Charlie, that by the end of my first term, our relationship with Israel will actually be stronger than it has ever been, because I will not treat it as a client relationship. I will treat it as a friendship. And what do true friends do? They help people stand up, and they help each other stand up strongly. How are we going to do that? I'll lead Abraham Accords 2.0, major achievement of the Trump administration. Well, we can take that to the next level by getting Saudi Arabia, Oman, Qatar, Indonesia into that pact. Say that we're not going to hold Israel hostage over a fringe Palestine question before integrating itself into the economic and security infrastructure of the Middle East. Stand hard in a partnership with Israel to make sure that Iran never, ever, actually ever has nuclear capabilities. But I also want to learn from Israel, to be perfectly honest with you. As a friend, friends learn from each other. I would love Israel's border policies in this country. I would love Israel's tough on crime policies in this country. I would love a national identity in this country like Israel has in its own country. I would love an Iron Dome protecting our homeland in the way that it protects Israel from Hamas. And so that those are great attributes of Israel. And I say this as somebody who's probably been to Israel in the last 10 years, more than most of the other candidates on that stage last night. I have business partners in Israel, some of my closest friends. I've traveled there a lot for a reason. I admire Israel because they are looking after their national interests. And we're their friend, and we should be allies in that because we have common causes. But I want to learn from that. And the irony that bothers the heck out of me is you have a bunch of Democrats and some in the Republican Party, too, that will applaud to fund those things in Israel. And that's great as an ally without actually adopting those policies here, calling them racist or xenophobic when we do it here at home on our own southern border. So that's what I'm going to change. And that's a true friendship built to last, far stronger relationship than the client transactional relationship that the other super PAC puppets on that stage wanted yesterday.
So what does the next month or two look like post debate, schedule, pace, messaging? Because now the race really has started, Vivek.
So I think there'll be a temptation, I'm sure. Now we're getting flooded with people who want to fund the campaign, et cetera. And my view is, great, we're going to need that, but I'm not going to change what I say. I'm going to go deep on the way in which the climate change agenda is absolutely a hoax. And I got a lot of flack for that from the donor class and otherwise last night.
Don't back down. The people are with you.
Oh, believe me.
Screw the puppeteers.
Oh, believe me. believe me. So the name of the game going forward is the same thing that got me from 0.0% to running as a solid number two right now is going to be what takes this campaign to the next level. Stay true to principle. Speak the truth. I would rather lose an election and speak the truth at every step than to win by playing political snakes and ladders.
Vivek Ramaswamy, the winner of the debate, speaking the truth. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. And like many of you, I'm a busy guy balancing family, show, travel, and TPUSA. When I needed a mortgage, I went to my friends Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian at Sierra Pacific. They were amazing. And look, I had some complicated stuff. Don't need to go into the details. They handled it personally. Call them if you have an aging family member, for example, that needs some financial relief. Ask them about a reverse mortgage. If you're self-employed and are finding it difficult to qualify because of that, they have my 100% full and complete endorsement. Call them and help you prepare. I'm telling you, anything mortgage related, please call them and not the big woke banks. Go to andrewandtodd.com. That's andrewandtodd.com. Fill out the quick form and they will get back to you with answers. Call them at 888-888-1172, andrewandtodd.com. They're good friends of mine. Full and complete endorsement. If you are a first-time home buyer renting and want to be, they'll call and help you prepare. Check it out, andrewandtodd.com. That is andrewandtodd.com. Fill out the quick form and they'll get you back with answers, andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now is Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, the legendary MTG, who instead of watching the debate, she was watching the Trump-Tucker interview instead of watching the debate. MTG, welcome to the program.
Hi, Charlie. Thanks for having me on. I got busted last night watching what I thought to be much more interesting content.
Well, much more important. Your impression. Okay, so the most important thing, MTG, you know the base really well, and you travel the country, speak at a ton of events, hundreds. Who was in the audience last night? That's not your typical Republican base activist.
No, absolutely not. That was the donor class that cheered so loudly when every single candidate on the stage except Vivek was all ready for World War III, ready to spend more American taxpayer dollars over to Ukraine and push us closer to World War III. This is also a crowd that was thrilled with the basically vanilla Bush Republican era questions that were coming from the moderators. They would cheer loudly for that. They cheered big time for Ron DeSantis, even though all of us know that he truly lost the debate and lost the primary last night. So I would call many of the people that were in the room last night, even though they're Republican voters, they're the 25% that are pretty much probably the never Trumpers and the ones that will not be the one. They won't be the crowd electing our Republican nominee. It's the people that go to the Trump rallies, the hardworking people in America that truly care about America First policies and MAGA policies. Those will be the voters that declare our Republican nominee. And Charlie, I'm going to tell you right now, it's Donald Trump.
Yeah, I mean, that's abundantly clear. So now looking at everything, you believe that Donald Trump not attending the debate was the right decision?
Oh, I totally do. And I told him last week, I said, there's no need for you to go to this. It's a complete waste of time. He had no need to stand on that stage with a bunch of candidates that would just attack him the entire time. He doesn't have to prove his policies because they're proven when he gave us the best 4 years as president of the United States that I've ever had in my lifetime. And I'm 49 years old. And Joe Biden, the president right now, has been in office longer than I have been alive, which is shocking to me because I have adult children. So I'm not young by any means. And here's Joe Biden that's gotten filthy rich, Charlie, tens of millions of dollars, possibly even over $100 million off of selling out American foreign policy decisions and all kinds of political favors, abusing his power in office. And they got richer and richer and richer. Well, Americans have gotten poorer and poorer and poorer to the point where people can hardly afford to pay their bills and buy groceries and put food on the table. That's what this election is going to be about. So, you know, the booing and the Nikki Haley horrific World War III foreign policy that we heard last night, and the stale old Chris Christie was in the wrong debate. He belongs in the Democrat Party. I mean, all of that garbage was so bad that everyone I've talked to today is just outraged. And then we can't believe, Charlie, I want to say this. They didn't talk about transgender surgeries on kids one time. And I couldn't believe it. And I was so angry because that's the number one bill I have that I'm really working hard to get passed. And I need a Republican president that will sign that into law. But they didn't even talk about it one time. They were too busy trying to call themselves pro-life while they're ready to vote for 15-week abortions.
Excluding Vivek, this was a reminder to me why I love Trump. And, you know, Marjorie, something you've been talking about a lot, the weaponization of DOJ, we got little vanilla muted answers. Nothing on election integrity. I mean, we have this whole movement now to secure our elections. And this is not something that has been solved. There was not a whisper about our broken elections. Trump is getting indicted over this topic. You would think that we could have a little bit of an idea of how to fix our elections.
Absolutely. And you're 100% right. And that's not an old 2020 topic. It's very much a 2023, and it will be a 2024 topic. Just in the past matter of days, I've been on the ground in Iowa at the Iowa State Fair campaigning for President Trump. And then I was in Florida just for a few days talking to many supporters there. Then I was at the debate last night in Wisconsin. All of those places, you know what I heard constantly, and it's the same thing I hear when I'm here in Georgia and at home in my district. They talk about election integrity and they don't want their election stolen. And I don't blame them one single bit either. But what I heard, and I don't know if this is true, so I haven't verified it. I heard that the candidates last night were asked to sign a pledge by the RNC saying that if they lost their election, they would accept the election results and not try to argue against it. I'm sorry. What kind of Republican Party is going to be happy with or just sit to the side and never question the outcome of an election? I think we should always question elections. We should always make sure that they're fair. We should always make sure that our elections are safe. That's part of being an American. And it doesn't make you a conspiracy theorist. It doesn't make you a bad person if you question elections. It doesn't mean you've done anything wrong. It means you want to make sure that the truth has been heard and that people's votes counted and that people's fraudulent votes did not get counted. And so, yeah, they should have brought that up last night, too.
So let me ask you, there was some controversy about the spin room yesterday about people being blocked. Tell us about this.
Yeah, I was furious about that. Sitting on the floor during the debate last night, I said to the right of me was Don Jr. and Kimberly. To the left of me was Matt Gaetz and Ginger. And we left at the last commercial break, got up from our seats and headed back to go to the spin room to prepare for interviews, to talk about the policies that we heard and didn't hear on the debate stage, to compare it to President Trump's policies. And we're allowed to do that. We're surrogates for his campaign. But even more importantly, you take the three of us right there. Matt and I are members of Congress. We vote on bills. We write bills. And these are bills that get produced and will go across the president's desk to be signed into law. So our voice in that spin room really matters because we're members of Congress, but we're also surrogates for President Trump. And then you have Don Jr., who is the son of Donald J. Trump. His voice matters a lot because he's been the target of this weaponized government and the censorship campaign and everything they have tried to do to the Trump family. His voice belongs in the spin room. He has every single right to be there. But the Fox News executives blocked us out, and they did not allow us in the spin room. We had the credentials. We had every single right to be there, but we were not allowed in. And so I argued long enough with them, and I took off, and I went to the Rumble setup, and we did an hour-long show after that. It was myself along with Brian Glenn from Right Side. We had Matt Gaetz and Don Jr., because I wanted people to know immediately what was actually happening behind the stage and how we were being treated. And it's really the extension of censorship, Charlie. And I'm very upset about it. We have seen censorship nonstop coming from the Democrat Party. We see censorship from media companies where they refuse to report important stories like the Hunter laptop story. We see censorship coming in those kind of ways. But Fox News last night actually censored our voices, our speech. And by doing so, they censored President Trump's speech, what I would argue they've been doing for a long time now. And this is exactly, you know, and I'm going down to the jail tonight. I'm really tired. I've been traveling nonstop on behalf of the president. I was at the debate last night. I had about 4 hours sleep, had to fly in today to be able to go to the jail to support President Trump tonight here in Fulton County. But do you know why the Fulton County DA is charging President Trump? It has everything to do with his speech. So if you think about it in those terms, we could say Fox News not allowing our voices in the spin room and not allowing President Trump's surrogates to be there is censorship. In the same way, the Fulton County DA doesn't like President Trump, doesn't like Rudy Giuliani, doesn't like his supporters here in Georgia, doesn't like their speech simply because they said the 2020 election was stolen.
So who exactly was not allowing you into the spin room? Who specifically, what entity was making that decision?
It was Fox News because they were hosting the debate with the RNC, and it was all of the gatekeepers outside the spin room door. They were blocking, they were letting other members of Congress in that were surrogates of other candidates, but they were not letting us,
yeah,
Matt
strange,
Gaetz and I, as members of Congress.
They let Byron Donalds through somehow, I guess because he did a joint interview with Chip Roy or something, but you guys, they just said no way.
Yeah, they blocked us out completely. I don't know how Byron got in there. I have no idea how Byron got in there, but they blocked us. And it was Don Jr., Matt Gaetz, and myself. The three of us went together, and we were all blocked out. And then we went back and tried a second time, and I was there with Jason Miller. There was a whole bunch of us from the campaign. They blocked us all out.
So the RNC, though, that must have also been equally involved in this, Ronna Romney and the crew, correct? They could have told Fox, hey, we want these people in there.
I would expect so. I'm really shocked anybody, any surrogate for a candidate for president, especially surrogates for the candidate that's winning with over 60% of Republican voters, has the support every single day in every single poll. He's winning by unbelievable margins. I would fully expect they would not want to block his surrogates out. That's shocking to me, or especially his family member. Think about Don Jr. I can't even comprehend that. I wish I knew the names of the people that were standing at the door that wouldn't let us in, or I would be blasting them out. I would have blasted them out last night, but I don't know who they were and I don't know their names. But yeah, that's what happened last night.
Congresswoman, can you give us any update on impeachment? I know that there's a lot of chatter around impeachment. Do you think we're going to get a vote sometime soon? They're saying maybe Christmas. What can we expect here?
Oh, it needs to be a lot sooner than that. This is something we should be voting on when we get back in Washington. Hopefully, after September 12th is when we resume session. So this is something that I've been asking for and asking for. Hopefully, we will see that vote happening. Like I said, I want to see it when we get back. I don't see there for any reason to wait, especially with the damning evidence that we've uncovered in the Oversight Committee. We now have proof that Joe Biden has lied to the American people. And something important to look at history with is when Congress had proof that they claimed that Richard Nixon had lied. That's when they moved towards impeachment inquiry. And then he resigned after that. When Congress had proof that Bill Clinton had lied, that's when they moved towards impeachment inquiry. Well, we have proof that Joe Biden has lied. He always said he never knew anything about his son Hunter's business deals. Well, in fact, we all know he does know a lot about his son's business deals, and he's very involved, according to witnesses that we've interviewed. And so this is the reason right there for any Republican member of Congress that is still sitting on the fence for them to go ahead and vote for the impeachment inquiry. That's not voting for impeachment itself. That's allowing us to investigate, giving our subpoena more power and presenting this to the American people, and they deserve to know what happened. And so I'll be demanding that. I don't think I'll be willing to vote for key bills and that we'll be voting on this fall unless we're able to pass an impeachment inquiry.
So, I mean, then heading up to the funding deadline on September 30th, I was most frustrated last night with Tim Scott, who said, you know, we need to really rein in the DOJ, the FBI. Do you think that we're going to finally get the House Republicans to bring $0 to the DOJ? So you're done. We just have to cut off the FBI, cut off their money. Is there an appetite for that amongst Republicans?
I would argue we could not do $0. And I'll tell you why. There's cases that I definitely want to see the Department of Justice prosecute. Cases like child molesters, child sex traffickers, gang members related to the cartels. There's federal crimes that we need the Department of Justice to prosecute. Unfortunately, they spend a lot of their time prosecuting President Trump, the poor people that walked through the Capitol on January 6th, you know, parents that tried to hold their school boards accountable, and people that care about saving the unborn. But so I would argue we can't take it down to zero, but it's been my commitment to my district here at home, my commitment to the American people. I'm not going to vote to fully fund the Department of Justice or the FBI. I will not vote to fund Jack Smith's special counsel. I would like the line item. I've tried to impeach Christopher Wray. I introduced articles. I've tried to impeach Merrick Garland. I've introduced articles, and you can see how slow it is to get through even to an impeachment inquiry for Joe Biden. So you can see how difficult that is. I've been arguing we need to use the Holman rule to line item their salaries. We should not be paying people that are weaponizing the government, not only against Joe Biden's top political opponents, but against the American people themselves. So that those are the difficult arguments we're going to be having. But what is coming, Charlie, is on September 30th, our government is supposed to shut down. And I know that most people could care less because the government is really intrusive and gives us more trouble in our lives most of the time than they do anything good. But that is going to be a time where we're looking, Congress will be looking at voting for a short-term CR. It's going to be really hard to get someone like me, especially, and I'll go ahead and say it. I haven't said it publicly yet, but I won't be passing any short-term CR if we cannot vote to pass an impeachment inquiry into Joe Biden.
Very good. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, thank you so much, and get some rest. You've been going very hard. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me directly, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
Cable news, noisy, boring, out of touch. That's why Salem News Channel is different. We keep you in the know. Streaming 24/7 for free. Home to the greatest collection of conservative voices like Dennis Prager, Jay Sekulow, Mike Gallagher, and more. Salem News Channel is unfiltered and unapologetic. Watch anytime, on any screen, at snc.tv and local now, channel 525.